I didn't get the intro about being perfect and cute. And like, it's
okay. But you are.
Totally messing with you. Hi, so good to be here with you. Yeah, so I'm Ruthie. I'm gonna try and not stand right in front of that in my face. Oh yeah, that'd be great. I'm a bit of a mover. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have like seen me from reality? Oh, okay. Woo! Yeah, okay, cool. Just to kind of get a sense of the room. Thank you. So it's good to be here with you. I'm here with Lene this evening. Lene is a little away. So Lene is one of my leaders that works with me because Justice Matters. I want to share a little bit with you about what that is, because she has got a bag full of brochures. And if you are like, after hearing, you're like, hey, I think I want to go serve, maybe like as a one-off or on a regular basis, then you should talk to Lene and she can tell you more. But essentially, because Justice Matters, we're a ministry in the Tenderloin of San Francisco. We've been there for about 10 years. I founded it and started it. We have about 10 of us who are on staff right now. And our goal is we're working with women and girls in urban communities and building brighter futures with them. And so there's a lot of challenges that women and girls experience in a neighborhood like the Tenderloin, and whether that's poverty or exploitation or violence, or just the fact that they've come here from another country and they're trying to learn English. And so we're really coming alongside that community and through various different programs, really helping them kind of work towards that brighter future. For some of our women, that brighter future looks like simply learning English, them being able to go to college, them being able to go to the grocery store and buy something, being able to talk to their kids. Some of that looks like we provide small groups, like small healing groups, forgiveness groups, Bible studies. We do like a manicure outreach where women come once a month on a Saturday and we paint nails and we just love on them and remind them for everything that Jordan was saying, like you are loved, like you have value, just intrinsic value of who you are. We do dance classes for girls. That's probably what a lot of us know us by. We started that about 5 years ago. So we have over 40 girls from the Tenderloin neighborhood enrolled in our programs, and they come in and learn all kinds of different genres of dance. And we're really not about like pumping out professional dancers, although that would be awesome. But what we're really about is instilling confidence and empowerment and just reminding girls like, we see you, we love you, we think you're amazing. You're growing up in this neighborhood that's tough and we don't pity you. Like, we see you as a leader, we see you as having so much value, and we want to just come alongside that and just kind of bolster that. And so that's kind of really what we're about. So that's what we do at Because Justice Matters. We have a lot of other things going on. Lene specifically is heading up our outreach into strip clubs. So that's something that we're relaunching this year, working with girls in those clubs. And so if you have any interest in any of those kind of things, you can talk to her and she'll tell you a little bit more about that. I'm actually realizing I'm going to need this for some notes. So yeah, I was born and raised in the UK. I moved out here when I was 18. I came out here to do ministry. I grew up in like a really small village, like a tiny little village, cobbled streets. I walked through like fields of cows to get to school every day. And then I moved to the Tenderloin, and it was like, have you guys been to the Tenderloin? You all know what I'm talking about? Okay. So I like moved in, and it's like, it's a neighborhood that has a high population of homelessness, drug addiction, people just out on the street, prostituting, shooting up on the street. I came from like a tiny village and like stepped foot in the Tenderloin. I was like, what am I doing here? Like, this is crazy. And I wanted to go home. And then people could understand me, because back then I actually sounded like I was from England. And people would be like, what are you saying? I can't understand what you're saying. And it was a really hard transition for me. But I love it now. San Francisco is my home. I hope I die there. not anytime soon, but like, okay. I'm married to my husband, Brian. He's on staff at Reality Church. And we have two boys, Keelan and Phoenix, and 8 and 3. And so we are really excited about the Black Panther movie coming out. Like, we're really excited. And like, when you have two boys, like, you'll get it. But like, my little one, like, he's like, he leaps across the floor going, look at my claws, they're so nasty. And I'm like, I don't know what that even means. He's like so excited about us, his way of being like, I'm so cool. So we're like, yeah, we're really into that. That's what I do. When I'm not doing stuff like this, I'm just launching around my living room pretending to be Black Panther. So I'm here to share with you all tonight, and I'm excited to do that. I'm actually super excited because Jordan's sharing was like a perfect intro, like a perfect segue into what I feel like God put on my heart. And I really was just asking God, like, okay, what do you want me to share with this group of college students? And I was invited to come and really kind of follow on your series about Imago Dei. just talking about the image of God. And so that's kind of what I'm going to kind of go with that, but I have a very specific angle that I want to talk about that with you tonight. And so before we do that, is it okay if I just pray? Is that cool? Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you are here, that we don't need to go to church, that we don't even need to be in like a sacred space. Everywhere we go, Holy Spirit, you are with us. Your presence is just as much here with us this evening as when we walk into church and the music starts or someone preaches. Lord, we can never be away from your presence. And I just ask this evening that you would just unlock those parts of our heart that normally don't come forward to receive from you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll go to the places that nobody sees, that nobody may even know, and that you would make yourself known as a loving parent, as a good God. And I even pray this evening that you would bring healing and that you would bring restoration to our minds, that we would think differently because we've encountered you. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know that you've been talking a lot about Imago Dei, and there's like so many different perspectives on that and different ways that you can approach that. And so I don't want to kind of rehash what I'm sure that you've already been talking a lot about. But essentially, we know that that means that we're made in the image of God. And what I really kind of want to drill down on tonight is this idea that we are made for relationship, that we're made for relationship with God, and we're made for relationship with one another. And that is actually part of Imago Dei, that actually reflects the nature of God. The fact that we are designed to be in relationship is actually part of who God is as well. And when we look back to the garden and we think back to Genesis and how perfect it was, we have this idea of what it looked like to perfectly reflect that image of God in relationship, right? Like Adam and Eve are in relationship with one another and it's perfect and it's harmonious in relationship with God. There's this intimacy, that like walking in the garden with him. Like everything is this perfect expression, this story of beauty and goodness. Like everything is as it should be. And then sin comes into the world and it corrupts and it defaces the image of God in us. We don't lose it. We still have the image of God, but it comes in such a way that it doesn't seem quite so clear, right? It's not such a perfect expression as it was prior. Something gets fractured. And the implication of this is that Adam and Eve hide, right? If you know that story well, they sin and God's like, hey, where are you? What's going on? And then there's kind of a lot of blame, but there's a lot of hiding that's happening. And God is looking for them in the garden and saying, hey, where are you? Where are you in the hiding? And so the result of the fall on that part of our image of God in us, in relationship, is that instead of being intimate and connected, what we do is we hide and we move away from, right? And that's kind of what I want to talk about this evening. I want to talk less about the perfect image of God reflected in us and more about that corrupted image and how that plays out, and then the invitation that I think God has for us. One of my favorite authors, he authored a book called The Soul of Shame. You might have heard me mention that before. He writes, each of us lives within a story we believe we occupy. Each of us lives within a story we believe we occupy. In the beginning, in that garden scene when everything was great, there's only one storyteller, right? There's God. And the story that he's saying is like, I love you. I see you. I know you. I want you. It's so good. In fact, he describes it as very good. There's this pursuit, there's this desire, there's this like, you are everything that I want. It's good, it's perfect. So he's telling the story, it's beauty, it's goodness. He's the only storyteller. But after the fall, another storyteller comes into the world, and that storyteller is shame. And shame has this contrasting story. Instead of saying, I see you, I delight in you, just the way you are, without any effort, any performance, any goals met, any standards, any work on your part, I love you just the way you are. Instead of telling us that story, this person, this storyteller, is telling us a contrasting story. He's saying, or it's saying, there's something wrong with you. You aren't loved. You aren't wanted. You aren't seen. Nobody wants to know that part of you. See, shame says, this is the part of you that people want. Maybe like Jordan was saying, is that performance, that like hitting the goals. This part of you, that's not welcome here. That's why I said in the opening prayer, God, would you bring forward parts of us that normally don't come forward? Because what happens is, because of shame in our life, we begin to hide the parts that we think nobody wants. We hide the parts of ourselves that the shame says, that part of your story, that's not welcome here. Here at Athletes in Action, you have to show up like this. You don't bring that part of you. No one's going to want that part of you. Or when you go to practice, or when you go to class, when you go home to your family, that part of you doesn't get to come out. That's what shame says to us. That's the storyteller at work. And this story becomes so nuanced and so personal in each of our lives. Like, it looks different and it sounds different. And some of you in this room might relate to Jordan, and some of you maybe not. Some of you maybe have your own little angle or nuance of how shame shows up in your family, in your relationships, in your career. But shame does show up. And the thing about it, it becomes so personal, it almost like becomes like, it's, what do you call it? It's like kind of becomes part of our body. It kind of becomes like it's almost kind of like growing on us in a way that we're like, I can't tell what's me and what's shame. It becomes so familiar to us. It feels like it's actually the most true story about us. See, there's the two storytellers, one saying, I delight in you and I love you right where you are. And the other one is saying, no, you've got to work harder and put that part of you away. Nobody wants to hear that. And we live in a world where shame is speaking so loudly that we think that's the true story. We think that's the truest thing about us. And it becomes so familiar, it's like we're telling ourselves the story, and then we do tell ourselves the story. And we believe the story of shame. It becomes so familiar to us. And the thing about shame is that you kind of don't live life thinking, wow, I'm really listening to shame right now. Like, I'm going to keep referring to you, Jordan, that's okay, because your story was just so perfect. But I don't think that Jordan was living life like running and being like, I'm working so hard and I'm listening to the voice of shame and I really hear it so loud. Like, it just becomes part of our lives. And that's kind of the nature of shame. It does its best work in the shadows. Shame doesn't want the limelight, doesn't want you to see it, because when you begin to see shame and realize how ugly and destructive it is, we all go, oh my goodness, I don't want that in my life. But shame wants to be in your life. It wants to tell your story, and if we let it, it will tell your story till the day you die. It'll tell your career story, it'll tell your family story, it'll tell your relationship story, it'll tell your story about your body as well. It'll tell you a story every single day. It doesn't want to be known. It just wants to have your ear. And it becomes so familiar. And some of us grow up in homes where that's the only story we've ever heard. You see, maybe you're here tonight and like, Jordan, you're like, hey, I grew up in a Christian family. I kind of sort of heard a different story sometimes. But maybe you're here tonight and that's not your story. Maybe you didn't grow up with Christian parents. Maybe no one was in your life saying, this is the true story. Let me remind you what the true storyteller says about your life. Maybe you're just sitting here thinking, geez, I don't know what I even believe. There's been so many stories in my life. And see, there's this other part of us that's made in the image of God, and maybe you've been talking about it, I'm not sure, but this idea that we co-create and we partner with God. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, it shows up in Genesis where God says, hey, look at all of this, like rule over it, right? And there's this invitation to like co-create, to partner with God, to sustain something that he initiated. So that's part of our nature that reflects who God is. The thing is with shame is, shame comes with a story, and that part of us kicks in, but it doesn't kick in the way that God designed. It kicks in and we begin to partner with shame. Right? Instead of partnering with God in this idea of the way that he wants us to rule over the world and partner with him and co-create and have purpose, it begins to kick in and that we hear the shame story and we say, oh, I'm going to partner with that story. And so we begin to be kind of complicit in the story in our lives. We buy into it. We like sell our souls to it. Like, this is the most important thing. And I'm going to create around it, and I'm going to partner my life around this story that my value comes from what I do and how I perform. And that I can't show all of myself because not all of me is lovable. And that if I come forward and I'm transparent and real, somebody's going to say, actually, I don't want that. Go back into hiding. That's the story that shame tells us. And that's the story we partner with. And so we begin kind of living into this world where we do a lot of hiding. And I wonder how many of us are hiding this evening. How many parts of us just don't feel welcome in a setting like this? I wonder how many of us have parts that don't feel welcome at church, that don't feel welcome by our family. See, we all do this hiding thing. And what happens is shame begins to isolate us. And we feel separated. That's ultimately the goal of shame, is to separate you from other people. And so shame comes in and says, no, you don't want to be real. You don't want to share that about yourself because they won't love you. But so then what we do in reaction to that is we don't share because we don't feel like we'll be received. And then we start this cycle of nobody knows us. I wonder who knows you this evening. You know, I said that recently. I was speaking at a women's event and I asked them a similar question. And said, you know, I'm sure all of us would be like, well, Jesus knows me. And everyone kind of laughed like, yeah. But it's like sad, actually. Like, okay, yeah, Jesus knows you. That's a great start. But like, we need more than Jesus in our life. And the thing is, shame will tell us either you're okay by yourself. You don't need anybody. You don't need to share that part of yourself. You're fine. Just like shove it down and hide. Or it'll just say, like, push everyone away. You don't need them in your life. And we all do this hiding thing in different ways. We avoid vulnerability. We avoid transparency. Maybe we avoid settings like this, or we show up at settings like this, but we don't show up. Do you guys know what I mean by that? Like, we show up, but we don't show up. Like, everyone pretty much is nodding their head. Like, we're physically present, but we're not emotionally vulnerable. How's your day going? Great, yeah, it's all good. Like, everything's fantastic. And we're like dying inside. Or like, how's school going? How's family? Yeah, it's great. But like, family is a wreck, it's a mess. But like, I don't bring that forward because if you knew that, you'd be like, man, she is a wreck. Or he's like a mess. Like, you just need to get it together and hold it together, right? This is just the voice of shame, the story of shame in our lives. And what happens is we get isolated. And then we begin to do what only we can do when we're isolated, and that's comparison. Because suddenly we're not vulnerable and in community, we're separated and isolated, and the only way to survive that isolation is to feel better. And the only way we feel better is to say it's like us and them, it's me and that person, and we're competing now. Like, I'm comparing myself to them. And so now we're in this prison of like shame and isolation and comparison. And it's like we're all in our head. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have this like internal world and we're like in our head and we're like stuck there. And it's negative and it's critical and it's judgmental and it's self-hating. And it's like on repeat. And we can't stop it. It's like we miss that deadline, or we miss that goal, or that mark, or that standard, or we don't perform well, or we don't see our life turning out how we meant it to. And it's like, oh, like crushing. And then that narrative just begins to kick in. Nobody is gonna like you. Nobody is gonna love you. You're not welcome here. You need to step it up. Like, what is wrong with you? You're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid. It's like these are the narratives that we tell ourselves when we get stuck in this world and the image of God is defaced within us. This imago Dei, which God designed as this perfect expression of relationship, togetherness, transparency, community, is suddenly corrupted and we're just isolated and we're alone. And it's exactly how Jordan said when she had to go back to school and face 4,000 people. And in that moment, it's like, I feel so alone and it feels so dark right now. I wonder what's happening in your life today. I don't know any of you, but I know that for all of us, we've got stuff going on. Stuff that we're proud of, stuff that we're excited about, stuff that's really hard, stuff that's really challenging. I don't know what you came in here with this evening, but I can tell you this, that the image of God is in us. And we reflect that beautifully when we are not alone, when we resist the story that says isolate, separate, hide, don't tell, feel shame. When we resist that story and instead return to like the true storyteller, and we say, okay, God, you love me and I have value simply because you made me. And actually I can look at the person next to me and I'm not gonna isolate or separate, I'm actually gonna move towards them this evening. I wonder what it would look like for your community here to begin to move towards each other with such a spirit of vulnerability and authenticity that everything is on the table. What if that was like the goal for this year for you guys? What if it was like, you know what, we want to resist this story of shame, and we want to actually be the community where we show up and we bring all of our stuff, the good, the bad, the ugly, and we love each other. I mean, that kind of sounds cheesy. You know, I've been living in San Francisco for like almost 2 decades, and there's this thing that I've realized about the Bay Area, and it's like some things, especially Christian things, sound cheesy, and people go, huh, like that's cute. And I decided about 2 or 3 years ago, I don't even care. I don't even care. Because I think what happens is we resist this thing because it feels like uncool or like kind of cute or like for those people, but I'm doing my thing over here. I mean, that is a very like Bay Area thing. Like, I'm building my career, I'm doing my thing, I don't need anybody. Let me tell you, that's not the kingdom of God. And if you're serious about following Jesus and you're serious about this life that he's calling you to, it means you're going to have to show up and bring yourself and say, I'm going to push past the, oh, it's cute and oh, it's cheesy and I should be doing this by myself, and actually just admit, I was made for relationship. I am made for community. I can't do this by myself. In fact, when I do this by myself, I'm just expressing corrupted Imago Dei. I'm projecting something that doesn't show you the image of God. I'm showing you a God that isn't, there's an imposter, that's not true. If you want to show the real Jesus, if you want your community and your roommates and your family and your team members to see Jesus, then show up and give them your full self. Because when we move into relationship, when we embrace that kind of living, then Imago Dei just begins to shine like a bright light out of us. That when people see us moving into relationship and say, I'm going to be vulnerable and transparent, and I'm going to say, you know what, I've been having a lot of fear or anxiety or wherever I'm at, this is just where I'm at. We move into relationship like that. What we show people is that we have a God of relationship, a God that wants to be known. When we express a desire to be known, we express the nature of God. I want you to think about that for a second. God desires to be known. He wants you to know him. So much so that we see throughout all of scripture, he shows up again and again and again, and he says, this is my name. And he reveals himself. And then not only that, he actually sends Jesus, like, so you can see what God looks like. He wants to be known. That same thing, that same desire is in us. We want to be known. And if we resist that and we embrace shame, then the image of God is corrupted in us. But when we move into this really messy place where we're vulnerable and where we're real and we say, I need help, then the image of God is just is beautiful in us. I had a really difficult morning. This morning I told you I have 2 boys, and when I'm not prancing around being Black Panther, you know, I'm doing mom stuff, which is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I'm gonna be honest. Like, there's nothing like being a parent. It's joyful, and it's the hardest thing. I mean, I have pioneered a ministry in the inner city for 10 years. I've traveled all around the world, in different places, Africa, Asia, all around, and gone into some of the darkest places. And nothing has challenged me in the way that raising kids has. And this morning, I just had like a real difficult morning with my 3-year-old, and preschool drop-off was really rough, and you know, you kind of leave them and they're like flailing on the floor crying, and you're like, okay, I gotta go. I love you. Jesus loves you. Gotta go. You know, it's like, there's this moment of like, and I'm going back to the car and I'm calling my husband and I'm like, I feel like a complete failure right now. Like, I feel like the worst parent in the world. Like, I don't know, like, should I have stayed? Should he even be in preschool? Is he ready? What do you think? Are we making these really bad decisions for and I'm just like spiraling. And there was like, me and Lene were talking about as we're driving over here. There's been other things in my life in the last couple of weeks. And I had my dog in the back of the car and I drove up to this dog park that's in the city that overlooks. And I'm watching my dog just romp around. And I'm just like, man, I am in a shame spiral. Like, I am just spiraling and I can't stop it. I don't know if you guys know what I mean by that, but when it just kicks in and you just like, it's that last nail in the coffin and it's just like, the storyteller of shame is screaming in my ear and I am agreeing with everything that it's saying. Yes, I'm a pathetic mother. Yes, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's just like spiraling. And in that moment, all I knew what to do was pull out my phone and text a couple of really safe people in my life and say, I'm in a spiral and I really need you right now. And I really need your prayer. And in that moment, that's all I can manage. My husband called me, he's like, what can I do? And it's like, there's nothing you can do, I'm just a failure. You know, it was just like, I was real low. But I was like in that like shame place. And all I could do in that moment is, I couldn't even break myself out of it. All I could do was say, help, help me. And I can happily say that my day got a lot better and I had a bunch of people praying for me and just some really good stuff happened for my preschool because my son was fine, you know, but it was like, came up out of it. But there were some times in our life where we feel like we just get to this place where the narrative is so strong and so dark that we need to reach out, we need to move towards somebody. And my encouragement for you this morning is if you want Imago Dei, if you want the image of God to shine bright in you, then that happens the best in community. And not just community where we show up and just say, hey, how's it going? But in community, where like we get on the phone and we say, I am in that shame spiral. Or we show up to an event like this and we say, you know what, I said I was okay, but actually things are really bad at home. And we just begin to lay it out there. Or we begin to say, there's this part of my story that I've never told before. Because I thought if I came forward and if I shared it, no one would believe me. Or I thought if I shared it, people would think differently about me. But I feel like this is a safe place and I want to share it with you. When we begin to move into that kind of community, then things get really beautiful. John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. See, we can talk about Imago Dei, and it's like this theological debate that is very heady. And theology is great, but I'm more of like a nuts and bolts, let's apply it, let's make it tangible kind of girl. And I feel like this evening, God's invitation to us is let's move towards letting his image be expressed more perfectly through us. By moving towards one another. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know your community, I don't know any of you. But that would be my challenge to you this evening, is to think about where you're hiding, where you feel unsafe, where you feel unloved, and then move towards somebody that you trust. Whether that's someone in leadership here, whether that's your roommate or someone you came with tonight, or a friend back home, or a parent, whoever it is, to just move towards them and take that one step and say, I want God to shine so bright through me. And that happens when I get my life in front of you and I just show up and I just bring myself. And then we embrace the true storyteller. And for some of us this evening, even just acknowledging that we've been living, believing that story that isn't true, that we've been co-partnering with shame, just even taking a step back and saying, man, that's me, I do that, that's a thing. And then just glancing back at the storyteller that is God, who desires relationship with you, who absolutely pursues you every moment of your life, who loves you, who delights in you, who likes you. Now, if you ever thought about that, but God actually likes you. He doesn't just have to love you, because you know he's God and you're like a created being, but like, he actually likes you. He enjoys being with you. That's the kind of God that I'm talking about this evening. So I want to just leave you with that to think about as you continue kind of your series of Imago Dei and how that is expressed, that it is expressed here in community when we move towards each other. Is that cool? Can I pray for you guys? All right. Jesus, I just thank you for the men and women in this room. Lord Jesus, I thank you that the story that you are telling over their lives is one of goodness and beauty. It is one that invites them to know you. It's one that says, I delight in you, and I long to rescue you from that internal narrative. Holy Spirit, I just pray that even right now that you would quicken to their minds what it looks like for them, how shame manifests for them. Maybe it's that shame spiral like I was describing this morning, where it's just like one thing and just kind of tips you over the edge and you just feel like you're kind of in this dark place. Maybe it's the way that you just berate yourself to work harder, work harder, work harder, simply because if you don't, you just feel like you're never gonna make it. Whatever make it means. Maybe some of you in this room this evening really relate to the idea of hiding, and you know that the self that you bring in your day-to-day life is just that protective self to guard what's really going on underneath. And if that's you tonight, I just want you to internally acknowledge that to Jesus and just be like, I want to start living from this place that's genuine and raw and real, and I don't even know how to do that. Jesus, would you show us how to show up with all of ourselves, even when we're scared, more afraid. And Lord Jesus, we want that life in all of its fullness. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you. And we want to experience your love, not just like talk about it, but actually experience it in our day-to-day lives. And that's what I pray for this community, that they would be a community that moves towards you and one another with genuine love and genuine vulnerability, that your image would be beautifully reflected through that love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.